Well, good morning. Welcome back to the God School. So, before the message, you saw the title of the message, The Cross, The Crook, that is, a shepherd's staff, and the crown. And what these three refer to are found in the Psalms of David, in the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th Psalms. The three really should be read together because they go together. And this morning we're going to attempt to bring a fuller understanding to the words of David and to the preciousness of these words to God's chosen people. Psalm 22 opens and it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far off from helping me? And from the words of my roaring. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you hear not. And in the night season, and am not silent. Now, many of you will recognize the opening words of this psalm to be those very words spoken by Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross. This was 1,000 years before that event. I'm always in awe of the unity portrayed throughout the scriptures, though they be written by dozens of writers, and over more than a dozen centuries in different places, through this revelation of God, we see his spirit and his hand in this vehicle in which he chose to reveal himself. So, prophetically, David opens this psalm with words that are going to be repeated and expressed by Jesus Christ. Have any of you ever said anything quite like this? Expressed the feeling that God had forsaken you, or, you know, it's softened a little bit in the second part of the first verse where it says, far from helping me. You ever felt that? I want to encourage you. Our Lord felt it, and He expressed it. Those circumstances which bring about such feelings. The circumstance in the world which bring about such feelings. But the psalmist David, he gives a response and says, but thou art holy. And you inhabit the praises of Israel. We could just as well say, you inhabit the praises of your people. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted. And you delivered them. They cried unto you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not confounded. In many of the churches today, the people of God get confounded because the message they're hearing is one of, you know, no trouble, prosperity, trust in God, and, you know, He'll multiply, you know, sow a seed here and He'll multiply 1,000. And then they tell the success stories about one having harvested 1,000 from sowing a seed. But what about all those who have trusted in God and have not received such a blessing, have trouble in this world? I'm telling you, the Word of God does not confound those who have been chosen of God, and also have or are being taught the Word of God. Let's go on. They trusted in you and were not confounded. Sixth verse says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lip, King James says. They open their mouth as they shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him. If he delight in him, you'll find this also. In about the 23rd chapter of Matthew. I'm sorry, I don't have that reference right at hand. The psalmist is going through something, and there is that he's complaining about. At the same time, he is giving us foresight or prophecy of Jesus Christ. And he turns and he tells God about how God had delivered the fathers who trusted in him, and they weren't confounded. And then he goes back to his circumstance. And then he gives... You know, there's a but in the third verse. There's a but in the sixth verse. There's a but now in the ninth verse. It says, but thou art he who took me out of the womb. You make me hope. It's the same word used, folks. In the fourth and fifth verse, the word is batak, rightly translated trust. Septuagint translates the word pisteo, faith. But you are he who took me out of my mother's womb. You did make me trust when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from the womb. You are my God. From my mother's belly, be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. I try to use the few more resources, because this one would be tough. The 12th verse, King James, many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round about, around. Out of the 26 translations, the translation by Taylor, the Living Bible, it says, I'm surrounded by fearful enemies, strong as the giant bulls from Bashan. I hope that gives you a better picture. They have opened their mouths at me like a voracious, roaring lion, he translates the next verse. I'm poured out like water. Oh, my bones are out of joint. Another description of Christ. Yet not one bone of his body was broken. My heart is like wax. It melts in the midst of my bowels. Now, you know, words change meanings. He's not talking about his intestines here. He's talking about all his inward parts, the sum and substance of his life. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaw. On the cross, Jesus said, I thirst. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. These are words of David 1,000 years before Christ. You think God's not in control? I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vestures. Go look at the 23rd chapter of Luke, the 33rd and 34th verses. When the Masoretic text is being developed, which begins 400 years after Christ, and it was done in response to those whom these Masoretes called schismatics, that is, Christians, who were then preaching and teaching the Word of God and treated it as though it was their own. In response to that, these Masoretic Jews began to develop their text of Scripture back into the Hebrew, which had been lost for centuries. When they came to this verse, They changed these words, pierced my hands and my feet, because they recognized this sounded too much like Christ. It didn't just sound like Christ. David was describing our Lord as he was on the cross, giving his life for us. A most fearful situation. And the reason it was most fearful, and the reason the psalmist opens the way he did in his foretelling of Christ, and the reason Jesus cried out these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is he had taken upon himself all the sins of the world. And he was paying the price for those sins. And for those moments when he bare in his body the penalty for sin, he was forsaken by God. The 19th verse opens with another, thankfully, another but in the midst of this circumstance. We find another but, because how do I say this? Because other things are going on as well. And the 19th verse opens and says, but be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword. My darling, marginal note says, my only one, from the power of the dog. I want to encourage all of you that God has not called us his children to be persecuted like Christ was persecuted, because you could hang 100 of us on a cross and pierce our feet, or pierce our hands and our feet, and we couldn't save a squirrel. But the Son of God, by his willingness to do this for us, that is, pay that penalty which the law required, wherein it said, for sin comes death. He did. I hope this is a good time to take a look into the New Testament. To the 15th chapter of John, the 18th verse, it says, if the world hate you, you know it hated me before it hated you, or it hated me first. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they'll persecute you. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin, because he was God on display in the flesh, and he came to his own, and his own received him not. And Jesus goes on and he says, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. And he goes on to say, they hated me without a cause. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of unicorns. Save me from the lion's mouth, for you have heard me even when I was under the power of wild ox. I hope you're relating to some of this. 22nd verse in this, but context, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, will I praise you. And ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all ye the seed of Jacob. He's not talking about, he didn't say, all ye the seed of the perfect. He said, all ye the seed of Jacob. Sinners. Like you and me. I have a note. Let me go on, offer you a little alternative to a translation of the rest of the verse. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. There's one translation in front of me that says, and be in awe of him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither has he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. So many in the church would say a condition of affliction is, not of God. And therefore, somehow or other, if you're afflicted, you're out of the will of God. Baloney, you're in the midst of it. If they hated me, Jesus said, they'll hate you. In the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, it says, Jesus speaking, I have given them your word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Folks, this is a journey of faith. A journey whose travelers are on the way to heaven, and circumstance, negative circumstance down here is not an indication of being out of the will of God. In fact, it is a verification. That you are in the will of God. when we cry unto our Father, He hears. My praise shall be of thee in the midst of the great congregation. Oh, brother so-and-so, look at him. He saved. He went to revival, and there were 452 souls saved. And brother so-and-so went to Africa, and there were 2,172,524 saved. Look at how great brother so-and-so is. The psalmist tells us where our attention is to be, and it is to be on God, not on brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, but on God. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I'll pay my vows before them that are in awe of him. Just a side note, you know, for the last few weeks we've been teaching on giving. And having seen God's control in profiling Jesus 1,000 years before that further confirmation of the truth of the gospel might be given, and we're hearing gospel words out of this Old Testament prophet and psalmist made manifest in the New. And, you know, even he brings up giving. That's not the subject. Well, it's part of the subject. I'm not going to deny it. He says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. And it says, no man comes to God save the Spirit of God draw him. If you're seeking God, understand it is God that's providing the impetus and the promise. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. All the kindreds of nations shall worship before you. Go read the 14th chapter of Zechariah. For the kingdom is the Lord's. Foundational words found in those closing words of what we call the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor, supreme ruler, potentate, dictator, if you will, among the nations. This next verse, I'm searching out it says, all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. One translation has prosperous peoples sacrifice to him and worship. Dying peoples bow before him. Folk who cannot keep themselves alive. I like the King James, and none can keep alive his own soul. None but the Lord. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he has done this. A seed shall serve him in every generation. It shall be accounted to the Lord. This word in the Hebrew speaks of out of the root means to score with a mark as a tally, a record. To inscribe and also to enumerate. Intensively to recount, to celebrate. Communing, to account, to declare, to scribe, to show forth, to speak, to talk, to tell, to write. Unto every generation a seed. The seed is not singular, but it speaks of people God has given that shall come and declare his righteousness unto people that shall be born. We're 2,000 years now after the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're 2,000 years, we're 3,000 years after David the psalmist writes of Christ. And yet we are still declaring the righteousness of God. And we shall continue. Now, this is part one of this message. Part two is coming. But for now, this has been the God School.